Welcome to the Cross Council Podcast, where we believe that negative emotions should not run your life. Join Mary Carlton and Steve Freitag as they share the keys they've learned from over 20 years of helping people find genuine freedom and live a more meaningful life through the truth, love, and healing of Jesus. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Cross Council Podcast. Welcome to 2024. I know we did our Happy New Year thing last episode, but you know, it's great to be back. It's good to be starting up January. It's cold up here. It's hopefully a little warmer down in Texas. And I am joined by my two co-hosts today, Steve Freitag and Wes Carlton today. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I am all right. It's a balmy 27 degrees, so we're doing pretty good. No snow on the ground. Love it. How about you, Steve?
Yeah, it's actually refreshing. You can go outside, and if you're a little drowsy, you just stand outside and wakes you up a little bit. We're all good. As long as it's not windy and icy and all that nasty stuff, I'm good.
It's not a happy
way. 26 degrees here in Texas. It's cold.
Wow, really? Okay. Yeah.
Wild. We're trying to be like you guys.
Don't. You're better off the way you guys are. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah, right on, right on. So, gentlemen, how was Christmas? How was the holidays for you?
I smoked some ribs the other day for a big football game and enjoyed that with friends and got plenty of leftovers, so I'm good to go. I know I still need to, like, do the smoking with you, Wes, right? The Texas style to compare.
we need to teach you how to make brisket. Yes.
I've had no complaints up here, so we'll see.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect. The complaints were, why didn't you smoke a second one? Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, that's pretty good.
It's amazing how different barbecue is different in different parts of the country. But I like it all, unfortunately. And my profile generally shows that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
not your online profile, right? The virtual, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on, right on. I got sent a meme by a friend of mine in Louisiana where it was just a picture of all the 50 states and it was, you know, where brisket is good and where it's bad, and every other state minus Texas is marked terrible. And then it's just good and then really good around Louisiana. And I was like, all right, yeah, bro. Calm down, you bayou country folk. But yeah, no, I had a good Christmas, good holiday too. Hung out with the family. The other Crevillians are a loud people, so it was fun. It's always happy loud, but it's always loud. And so it was a lot of fun. A lot of them bought presents for my girlfriend. Like when we did the family Christmas up in Green Bay, they're like, where is she? Why isn't she here? That sort of thing. I was like, no, she's with her family and we're visiting her family next. So calm down, everyone. And then I got to go over to her mom's place out in Amory, Wisconsin. And it's really fun talking to my girlfriend's mom, because she's like a very opinionated and very intelligent person. So I can ask her like one question, and I usually do, and I just let her go. And I'll just be like, so what do you think about government? And then I go and get a snack because it's going to be a 5-hour like PowerPoint presentation, and I'm going to come away knowing something new. And I'm going to be like, oh, right on. Cool TED Talk. Thank you. So it was a lot of fun. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. But yeah, I think we'll go ahead and get started with our conversation topic of the day. First, we're going to get a quick word from Jenny.
Paul prays in Ephesians 3 that we would be rooted and established in love. Love that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. At Cross Council, it's miraculous to watch people transform by the love and truth of Jesus. But some people need a little extra help. We never turn anyone away because of their inability to cover their session fees. Would you be willing to cover that cost for somebody? Somebody who is looking for freedom from something in their life? We are inviting you to be a part of what Cross Council is doing here. Would you be willing to donate to cover someone? Bless them, though you've never met them. You can do that today at crosscouncil.com.
All right, gentlemen. I guess to start things off, something that has come up a lot, I think, in life, and there's a good argument to be made that you don't go through life without experiencing this, is betrayal, right? In some aspect of life, in most aspects of life, there can be, and there probably will be at some point, some betrayal. The scars of that betrayal, you know, like the damage left over from that is pretty significant most of the time. Steve, have you seen a lot of the effects of betrayal, like coming through the doors of Cross Council, people carrying those scars, that damage, and what makes it stand out to you?
How long is this podcast?
Not long enough.
Oh my goodness. What people often say is, I feel betrayed.
Yeah.
And I know that's our culture. I know that's our culture. And I'm not going to change that, but betrayal isn't a feeling. Either you were betrayed or you weren't betrayed. It's a thing. So you think you were betrayed, and maybe you were, maybe you're right. Or maybe it's just a little bit of a betrayal, the feeling of betrayal comes down to a lot of different things. You can feel a sense of invalidation. You can feel loneliness. You can feel fear. And of course, the secondary emotions of anger and resentment and bitterness, all that comes in. When people come in, we're not a ministry that is like, okay, you need to deal with your past. That's not our primary objective. Our objective is to identify the deep core lies that we believe, and that shows up in our reactions to things that are less than peaceful. And oh, by the way, those things are really rooted in places where we're not even in our teens yet. And so, yeah, we deal with people's past, but not just to deal with people's past, but in the lies they believe. And so in a lot of childhood trauma, it's easily identified as betrayal in many, probably most cases. There are some things that are accidents that happen. Nobody did anything wrong. Just something went sideways or bad. And so there can be certain trauma from those kind of things. But a lot of times it's, my dad did this, my mom did this, my brother, my sister did this, my friend, or who I thought it was my friend, or a teacher, or whomever. So it's not just what's happened to us, but it's how we've interpreted what's happened to us. And so that you could put betrayal on almost any session that we have here when people are dealing with their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's common, you know, to humanity, really. Jesus himself was betrayed. And as a business person, you know, business and betrayal start with the same letter, and they happen all the time. It's usually about the money. And I mean, it's amazing what people will do when money is involved over what they have said or what their contract says or whatever. So I can't imagine, you know, being in business without experiencing large degrees of betrayal, especially as a Christian. It's an emotion that all of us have, and the experience that we'll all have. Any human will be betrayed at some point. I truly believe that, whether it's early in life or late in life. You know, Steve and I, actually, the first time Steve and I met was I was trying to get ministry over being betrayed, you know, and of course I'm married to Mary, which is Mrs. Melt, you know, every emotion that I have gets melted down to, you know, the golden ore of memory. But, you know, I had been in a business relationship where I was sued for actually giving somebody free stock. Okay. And so it, you know, I was like, really? And so, you know, at that point, Mary's trying to, you know, do her thing. And I'm going, I don't need this. You know, I'm justified. This guy is suing me. You know, we're going to do the Godfather thing and take him to the mat. You know, I mean, we're going all the way. And, and so somehow she convinced me to contact Steve. And actually, as I recall, went up and saw you in Wisconsin because we were on a trip. And, you know, I was absolutely stunned by where all that was coming from and how often I had been that way. As a businessman, you know, you don't play dead and roll over when somebody betrays you. You know, you you do what you do to try to survive and make sure that, you're not taken advantage of. But it was pretty amazing, as I recall, kind of a simple memory, Steve, that, you know, was a playground memory where when I was in junior high, I had grown wider than taller at that particular moment. And so I was not very athletic looking. And, you know, it was a playground thing where my best friend was one of the captains. You know, we choose sides in recess or something. And I was his best friend, and he didn't choose me, and nobody chose me. You know, that was a very emotional thing that I actually, Steve, if you asked me to remember that before that process, I don't think I could have pulled that out of my memory. It was so dumb, so far back, so over it, you know, that it's not even worth even any energy, of me actually trying to remember anything. But that was the driver for, I couldn't sleep, man. I mean, I was thinking about ways to get even and wondering how could this person do that? And I mean, I was going through all those things. I was obsessing over the situation to the point where I really couldn't even hear God. So, but need melting. That's for sure. That's what I was thinking. Wrong.
Yeah. Right. Because the pain is so blinding us. It's right so far in front of us. And it's true that you were betrayed. It's true at least that response that you got, you tried to be generous and then you got, you know, that knife in your back. So we never diminish what happened. I didn't say, well, that doesn't sound like a big deal, Wes. Just get over it. Right. Yep. Put it at the cross, Wes. Just put it at the cross. Right. But Jesus wanted to do something in your heart that changed your perspective on things.
See, all those platitudes, the Christianese platitudes, they actually don't work. I mean, so you can put it at the cross, but as soon as you get off your knees, you bring it back and put it back on, you know, and then and the more you put it down, the heavier it gets when you pick it back up. It's almost disingenuous to ask somebody to do that. I couldn't have done that, Steve. I could have put it back and gone, I'm just going to get over it and God loves me anyway and I know he's good and all that. But it doesn't work. That
right,
doesn't
because,
work for me.
Right, because those things are tethered by the distorted beliefs that we carry, the lies that we hold on to. And so, like you said, I put it at the cross, turned my back, walked away, and then I was dragging it with me. You know, I didn't notice it for a day or two, but it's chained to us. It's tethered to us until we deal with those lies that we don't even recognize at that time. Or even if we do, we can't even lay the lies at the cross. We need his intervention. That's what this is. Like, a huge thing that's on my heart right now is the question, what kind of follower of Jesus do you want to be? Do I want to just punch my card? Do I just want to show up on a Sunday morning and raise my hands in worship and pretend to look like I'm listening to the sermon and to shake hands and just be nice and okay, then that doesn't affect my life? Do I want to be a below average follower of Jesus or a Christian? Or do I want to just live in mediocrity? And that's just the big word. I do not want to be content with mediocrity. And I think I was content for a long time. And Wes, you well know that you probably can't live in much mediocrity with Mary as your bride, right? She's going to call you out when it's appropriate. Right. Not going to happen, right? It's a higher call to be a follower of Jesus who's willing to go to the mat. And he goes to the mat with us.
Yes.
Right? And he's won the victory, and he wants to experience the depth of that victory that we have.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Steve, in that memory, and you may not remember, but, you know, it's like no one chose me, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, when the Lord spoke to me, he said, well, I chose you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, as simple as that statement was, it's It's almost like the difference between watching a fire on TV, a fireplace on TV, and sitting next to the fire. When he speaks to you, it's an experiential change. I mean, it's a core change. And so, you know, for me, immediately, you know, I suddenly started hearing scripture. Like, well, how do you settle a dispute? Okay, well, while you're on the way, you know, settle with your accuser, basically, you know, before you get before the judge. And so I was able to do that. Whereas before, you know, I wasn't willing to do anything. So, and my whole attitude changed because I didn't need to be chosen by him. I didn't need to be acknowledged by this person that I had done them, you know, a wonderful thing. I just needed to make sure that, you know, that since the Lord chose me, everything was different. And, you know, that whole thing went away. It's just amazing. It was a big number, Steve. I mean, I was being sued for a big number. Hmm. And, you know, we settled for, you know, a nothing number. Hmm. And it's like all because my attitude changed, because I wasn't fighting a fight without knowing the enemy. Does that make any sense?
Oh, it does to me.
I mean, I thought the enemy was this person, but the enemy mm-hmm. was the fact that, you know, Satan, who is the great betrayer of everything, had told me an almost truth, mm-hmm. which was, you didn't get chosen. Okay, so you're no good was the rest of that, mm-hmm. you know, and you can't ever trust anyone. That's the rest of that statement from him. But, you know, the truth is I didn't get chosen for the football game. But, you know, the Lord chose me personally over something a lot bigger than a stupid football game. And yeah.
Yeah, it overrides in that moment in your yeah. heart. It overrides it, because what we do, and we talk about this all the time, we're broken records. It's like when that lie takes hold, it feels so vulnerable. And in an instant, yeah. we're able to cover that up, you know. And I don't remember exactly if we even talked much about like what happened in your heart. How did you survive that? That's sometimes what we do in memories like that. And regardless, what we do is anything to not feel that. And nobody around us necessarily sees what's going on inside. Sometimes there could be a, you know, the screaming and yelling and, just running away and crying or whatever. And people see, oh, okay, what a baby, that kind of thing. But even underneath all those tears is an ability for us to try to suppress that. And then that just takes hold. And so your mind, which is a prediction machine, says anytime anybody gets anywhere near this I'm no good belief, I'm going to do whatever I can to not feel that. And so you fast forward decades ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I was 60 years old when that happened. So it's like, you know, I've been dealing with this thing in my heart for 60 years mm-hmm. and just throwing it down and ignoring it and just not realizing, you know, how bad it could actually be. And I've been, you know, in previous situations, you know, I didn't get victory. I mean, I did, you know, have things that happened that I had for years and years that I had to, you know, deal with at a later time, because I was, you know, I was fighting, you know, a football captain that didn't choose me at recess. I mean, you know, the ridiculousness of how easy it is to trick somebody when, you know, when you believe something that's not true mm-hmm. as a child is just amazing how far it carries. And, I wish I would have gotten free of that a lot sooner. It would have saved me a lot of emotional energy.
Yeah, and what that does in your body too. It's all the different certain things that yeah. people carry with having to take Prilosec on a regular basis because they get upset. Now that could, who knows where that all comes from, but I know emotionally some of that stuff is so connected to what we deeply believe. And the more that people deal with the deep core beliefs that they might not even be conscious of, but when they're exposed and they really realize that. So yeah, those kind of conflicts in business, there's a situation where, these two men were in business together. One was the president. One was sort of like, I don't know, vice president, let's put it in those terms. And they had a parting of ways. And I, from both of their stories, you talk to each one of them. And if I only talked to one, I would have, you know, like, I'm so glad that we, our position here isn't our job to try to figure out who's right or who's wrong. Yeah. It's to walk through what people want to deal with. And so if you listen to Fred's story, you're like, oh, Larry's a jerk. But if you listen to Larry's story, it's Fred's a jerk. And I've heard both sides, and I sit there and it's like, okay, regardless what's going on in your heart, because I can't sort that stuff out. I don't have the wisdom of Solomon. And that happens quite a bit in marriages as well, where it's he said, she said. And I, there's another situation that's going on that I'm not directly involved with. And it's one person who was betrayed is constantly trying to like get all the information from the betrayal. Well, there's a debt that this person can't repay. And it's not going to be repaid by sharing every detail of all the betrayals. It's horrible. But you still have to deal with whatever is on is your responsibility to deal with. Yes, you may have been betrayed. That's awful. I can't imagine the kind of betrayal that you've gone through. That said, we want to strengthen your heart, your soul, what's going on inside of you. So,
yeah, you know, Steve, you said something I think is really important, at least in my own situation, you know, the rehashing of the facts. Mm-hmm. You go over and over and over and over and over. What did I do? What did they do? What did I miss? How could I possibly have been that stupid? You know, I mean, you just go through and you rehash it over and over again. It's like, back in the day, John, you won't know what this is, but we had this thing called records, and you know, and every once in a while, you know, there'd be a scratch on the record, and you'd be playing it, and it just keep going back over the same loop over and over and over until somebody moved the needle on the record. That is kind of what it was like. I mean, I'd wake up, I'd be going over it again, and of course, with the lawsuit, you know, you're producing information and, you know, 12,000 pages worth of documents, and you're going back through it and you're just reliving every single moment. Mm-hmm. And it consumes you. And you don't even know that that's all you're doing. And there's no deliverance there without healing. There just isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but that is, you hit on something I didn't realize until just now that I was doing that, you know, rehashing the sins of the person that took advantage of me, you know, and how stupid I was and all that kind of stuff, you know. But I'm so grateful that, you know, that one single phrase from the Lord fixed it all. I mean, yeah, I mean, the record's not even available. It's broken. The needle's broken. You know, I never rehash it again. And, even though I'm talking about it now, what I mean, the rehashing of the emotion part of rehashing, which is worse than just the remembrance, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're still trying to solve something by rehashing, and it's just, it's never going to happen. And
Yeah, you know, it's when God removes. We, you know, sometimes refer to things as buttons, Steve, but I wish there was a better metaphor. It's almost as if the nerve has been cut. So there, you know, there's nothing there. It's like think of a hideous scar on someone. I have a few of them on me, and you know, actual physical scars that, you know, they're tender, they touch, and that things happen, you remember. But it's almost like the scar isn't even there. So there's no connectivity anymore between what is happening and what you used to believe. It's amazing it's an amazing freedom point. We call them buttons. The button's been removed or the button's disarmed. But I think it's even greater than that. I mean, it's almost as if it didn't happen. Does it make any sense? It's like it's been erased.
Yeah, because the pain of it is gone, right? So,
this has been the Cross Council Podcast. Please remember to subscribe, rate, share with your friends, and look for us on social media. The world will become a much better place, and Jesus will be seen in a much better light the more we are transformed by His truth and love. We'll see you next time, everybody.